How is it inherited?
So it's inherited in an autosomal dominant fashion, meaning that if someone has it, there's a 50% chance of passing it on to their children.
Which is really a scary thought. There you are, a parent, and you may not even know that you have it.
That's right. So,
and pass along a gene that could end up causing your child's death.
That's right. So what we do then is when we find it in somebody, the proband we say, then we will make sure to screen family members for that same syndrome. We can screen by EKG and look for the long QT. And then if the patient has a genetic abnormality identified, we can actually just test for that specific genetic abnormality.
And what are those genetic abnormalities?
So there are a whole slew of them. We now have about, we're up to 13 different genes that have been implicated with long QT syndrome. There are three of them that are the most common that are, account for about 90% of the long QT syndrome patients that we've identified. And then there are a whole host of mutations in those genes that
are... What are those genes?
So they basically are the genes that are responsible for the creation of ion channels. So the ion channels are those channels on the muscle cells that allow for the flow of ions in and out of cells and basically create the electrical activity. And so if there are mutations in the genes responsible for the creation of those ion channels, then you could end up with the long QT syndrome.
If you suspect then a patient having a long QT syndrome, how do you test people? Do you test them with EKGs? Do you test them now with a genetic test? Do you do both?
We do both. So generally what we'll do is we'll be suspicious of long QT if somebody, first of all, has a long QT on their EKG, and particularly if they have symptoms associated with long QT syndrome, such as fainting spells, or if they were to have had a cardiac arrest and had been resuscitated, then we will be suspicious of it, and we will give them the diagnosis if they have some of the features. So the length of their QT is part of the diagnosis. The symptoms is part of the diagnosis. If they have a family history, that's also part of the diagnosis. And then we can further classify the type of long QT syndrome that they have by doing genetic testing.